This is DW News live from Berlin. Britain and the world mourn Prince Philip. Military salutes and moments of silence are being held in tribute to the 99-year-old husband of Queen Elizabeth II. We look at how his country is grieving along with the royal family. Also coming up on the show, it's just days to go until the Islamic holy month of Ramadan begins. And that's raising fears that this time of bringing people together could help spread COVID-19. Hello, I'm Claire Richardson. Welcome to the show. Britain is mourning Prince Philip, husband to Queen Elizabeth, after he died on Friday at the age of 99. Flags will fly at half-mast until the day of his funeral, which is yet to be announced. And although Buckingham Palace has asked crowds not to gather or lay flowers during the pandemic, people have been coming out to express their grief. Today, the military paid their tribute to the prince.
A sound goodbye. Across Britain, military guns fire a salute to the late Prince Philip a day after his death. Many British people are pausing to mark the passing of a man they held dear.
I have a huge, huge amount of respect for the royal family. I'm quite emotional, actually, even just talking about it. The news broke as we were walking through Parliament Square, and my daughter and I just said, we just felt like we had to come down here and just be near the palace and safely, obviously, masks and everything else, and just be close to the royal family today.
Oh, the Prince Philip was a wonderful father and a real asset to British life. And I'm sure the Queen is grieving terribly. My wishes to her.
Very sad. I actually shed a tear. I felt really, we knew it was going to happen, but still very, very sad.
Sad. He's been with us all through our lives, as the pair have.
People in London have made their way to Windsor Castle and Buckingham Palace to pay their respects to the late Duke of Edinburgh. The royal family urged crowds not to gather due to the pandemic, asking them to make donations to charity instead. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson says his thoughts are with the Queen, who has lost her husband.
So we mourn today with Her Majesty the Queen. We offer our condolences to her and to all her family. And we give thanks as a nation and a kingdom for the extraordinary life and work of Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh.
In Britain, flags will continue to fly at half-mast all over the country until the prince's funeral.
And for more, we're now joined by culture reporter Robin Merrill. Robin, great to see you there. What do you think will be Prince Philip's lasting legacy?
Well, I think a legacy of a life of service, first of all, to Queen and country. If you think 73 years in a very difficult role, that of number two, you know, the spare, well, number two anyway, playing second fiddle to his wife, which was difficult for him because he was quite a macho guy. He once said his job was first, second and last, to never let her down. And indeed, in those 73 years in public, he never did let her down. The other great legacy is, of course, the Duke of Edinburgh Awards scheme, which he started way back in 1956, actually. It's all about connecting young people with nature and the outdoors. He was an environmentalist before his time. And it continues to this day. It gives young people self-reliance. It gives them responsibility and a belief in serving the community. And will continue to do so way into the future.
Now, how has the Queen been faring? Because he has, as you said, been such a rock for her in what must be quite a lonely role at times.
Absolutely. Our thoughts do go out to her at this very difficult time because It is said he was the only man, indeed the only person in the world, who could speak to her normally. There is a funny anecdote of when he was driving rather fast and she was gasping, and he turned to her and said, "If you do that again, I'll throw you out of the car." Well, you can't imagine anybody else being able to say that to the British monarch and getting away with it.
Absolutely not.
They were a couple for three quarters of a century. So despite the Queen knowing this was going to happen, she must have known for the last week or so, I think. Maybe we all did. But it comes when someone passes, as you know, as I know, when that moment happens, it does hit you very hard. And I'm sure she is grieving. She is in deep sorrow, as it said on the message that was put outside the palace yesterday.
Now, the nation is in mourning, but it is also important to remember that Prince Philip was at times quite a divisive figure. What more can you tell us about that?
Well, yes, in this age of political correctness, absolutely a divisive figure. He was famous for his gaffes, a lot of them unrepeatable here. He didn't suffer fools gladly, and he was actually quite blunt. There's one time when he met a trainee astronaut, and he looked him up and down. He said, "Well, you're a bit too fat for that, aren't you?" His most famous gaffe here in Germany, he did speak German, because when he was a child, he was educated for 1 year in Germany. He called Chancellor Helmut Kohl the Reichskanzler. Now, this is a word in German that is only associated with Adolf Hitler, so that didn't go down very well. I would like to say, though, that people who knew him and worked with him, my brother worked for the palace for some time, and they said he was actually very easy to deal with, because he always had something to say to put you at your ease. My brother told me he was very relaxed within himself. So there were two sides to him, divisive, as you said.
All right, Robin Merrill, thank you so much for that update. And let's take a look now at some other stories making headlines around the world. Police in Greece have launched a manhunt after a veteran crime reporter was shot dead outside his home in Athens. Yorgos Karivas was ambushed and shot several times as he arrived home from work. Media offices in Greece are frequently targeted in firebomb and vandalism attacks. Chad's president, Idriss Deby, has held his last campaign rally ahead of Sunday's presidential election. He's expected to secure a sixth term in office, extending his three-decade-long rule. Human rights organizations have accused his government of cracking down on the opposition in the run-up to the vote. And India has reported more than 145,000 new coronavirus cases, the largest daily increase by far since the pandemic started. Infections have surged in recent weeks, prompting many states to impose tougher restrictions, like curfews and weekend lockdowns. And Germany's far-right Alternative for Germany party is holding a convention this weekend to decide what its platform will be for national elections in September. Hundreds of the AfD's delegates are meeting in person in the city of Dresden, despite rising numbers of coronavirus cases in Germany. Protests are taking place outside the conference. The party's anti-Islam, anti-immigration stance, as well as its criticism of lockdown measures to fight the pandemic, have courted controversy. The convention is expected to be the scene of bitter debate between its extreme far-right faction and its more traditional conservatives. And I'm joined now by our political correspondent, Simon Young, who is reporting from the party convention in Dresden. Simon, as we heard, the AfD is finalizing its strategy going into this September's elections. What issues are dominating the convention this year?
Yeah, the main thing that the Alternative for Germany wants to do here this weekend is to launch its election campaign program. They've launched that last night under a slogan, "Germany but normal." It's their vision of what normality should mean in Germany. They say they want to get back to normality. It includes things like ditching the euro, reintroducing compulsory military service, banning minarets. There's a lot of emphasis on traditional family models and so on. So there'll be discussion about that outside the party Congress hall here, I'm sure, about whether that really is what normal should mean in Germany. But these discussions here about the content of their election programme I think are overshadowed, as the report said, by a rift in the party about which is the real direction they want to go in. Do they want to drift more to the right and push that envelope of right-wing rhetoric even further, as some have wanted to do, or do they want to get back somehow into more into the middle of German politics? And we're seeing that played out here. But the more moderate leader mentioned there, Jörg Meuthen of the AfD, he will stay in the job, it seems. But that's only one of a few battles that are being played out here.
Now, Simon, AfD members have been active in anti-coronavirus demonstrations, and the party has links to radical coronavirus deniers. How has the pandemic been featuring in their platform?
Well, yes, there have been those links, and we've seen senior AfD politicians talking about the government creating panic and saying that corona is, you know, less dangerous than the flu. They try to play on those fears, emphasising the idea that they are standing up for people's civil liberties and freedoms against a government that wants to somehow close those things down. So they've talked a lot about that. They criticised the government for changing its mind on its policy. But they themselves have been a bit confused about corona. They certainly want to push back against things like any idea of, for instance, requiring people to have vaccinations or to carry vaccine passports.
Right, we're going to have to leave it there. Simon Young reporting for us from Dresden. Thank you so much. Well, the Muslim holy month of Ramadan begins next week. It's a time when people gather after breaking their fast at sunset. And that's raising fears that this could cause the coronavirus to spread.
Preparations are in full swing. This mosque in Islamabad is being cleaned by volunteers. And there's plenty of hustle and bustle at this market in the city. This as another wave of coronavirus cases wallops Pakistan, making preparations for Ramadan this year a struggle. This is the second year of coronavirus and it's affected our business. We're bankrupt and the reason is that the markets shut down early in the evening. Shopkeepers aren't open so people don't come to buy at the markets. Our businesses depend on people. Here in Iraq, street markets are quieter than normal too. COVID-19 is raging through the country and many people are staying away from crowded places. Another muted Ramadan awaits. The pandemic has forced us to stop visiting each other during Ramadan and deprived us of our Iraqi traditions and customs, like visiting our relatives after we break our fast. It's a painful situation for us, and on top of that, there'll be a curfew when we break our fast. In Indonesia, the country with the largest Muslim population, cemeteries are busy with families visiting the graves of loved ones, a tradition on the last weekend before the start of Ramadan. The holy month begins in just a few days' time and lasts for 30 days.
Let's get some sports news now. And in the Bundesliga, struggling Bielefeld hosted Freiburg on Friday. The visitors wanted a win to boost their slim chances of European qualification, while the home side needed 3 points to help avoid relegation. An own goal by Freiburg at 69 minutes won the game for Bielefeld, lifting them out of the drop zone, at least until their rivals play tomorrow and today. Freiburg remain in 10th place in the standings. And European football's governing body has given 4 host cities of this summer's European Championship an ultimatum. Give us your plan to bring fans into the stadiums or face being left out. So far, 8 cities have assured UEFA that at least some fans will be able to attend matches, with Budapest planning to fill every stadium seat. But Munich, Rome, Bilbao and Dublin have been given just 10 more days to come up with stadium plans or replacement sites will be found. And before we go, a reminder of our top story at this hour. Military gun salutes have fired in tribute to the late Prince Philip. The husband of Queen Elizabeth II died on Friday, aged 99. People have been laying flowers at the royal residences, although Buckingham Palace has asked crowds not to gather during the pandemic. That is your news update at this hour. Stay tuned for a reporter on location with a look at the trial of a Syrian torturer. And remember, there's always more on our website at dw.com, or you can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at DW News. I'll be back with more news headlines at the top of the hour. Until then, thanks so much for watching.